This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Number one student athlete in the history of Packer and Durham.
Wow. Oh, Dana Evans was five, huh?
Dana Evans was close, and Buddy Boeheim's got a shot to overtake him now. Buddy Buckets. It's going to be a race to the finish for those two dudes coming down the stretch.
That's awesome.
But right now, Kenny Pickett will be your leader in the clubhouse at 9:30 a.m. this
morning. So when Kenny finishes his eligibility, and then maybe we get him before next spring or something, that counts to the total, too.
Oh, sure. Okay. No question. All right. It's on this show. Right. On this show. Not a preview show, not a median day show. It's this show. He's the leader.
Got it.
Current leader in the clubhouse.
All right. Will be, yeah. All right. Kenny Pickett coming up at 9:30. Best games in series history. Dickens and Tigers. First player you think of is...
Well, the first thing, I've told this story the other day on Halloween. I think of my freshman year at Clemson.
Right.
82-24. And I told this story. I don't want to say it again. I just told it 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Of going to see Billy Barb. Yeah. And the guy in the front says, if they score again at halftime, if they score again, I'm out of here. Perry Tuttle catches the first pass. And by the time Tuttle gets to about the 25-yard line, the guy goes up and says, Billy, I'll see you in Winston. And walked right up the steps and he was out the door. And I remember the Tiger wearing a pumpkin that day at the top of the hill before they touch a wild rock. Right. And the poor thing had to do like 750 push-ups that day. That's the first thing I think of with Wake Forest and Clemson.
First thing I think of is the late Gaines Adams, 06 interception, fumble, deflection, return for a touchdown against Wake Forest. And Wake still won the ACC that year and ended up in the championship. But that's the first play that pops in my mind, first thing that pops in my mind.
The other thing that pops in my head is Wake beating Clemson in Winston-Salem and the end of Tommy Bowden.
On a Thursday night.
Yep. Yeah, in Switzerland.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, Bowden's out. And, man, what are they going to do as a head coach? What in the world is Clemson going to do as a head coach? Are they going to hire some interim guy? Yeah, okay. What's his name again? Dabo what? Dabo Swinney?
Here it is. Boy. Riley Skinner. Right? Look at Skinner.
Yeah. Riley Skinner was insane.
Dude.
Don't mess with Riley Skinner now.
You ain't got to tell me out of the bowl school, Jacksonville.
Yep.
Friend of the show.
Yep.
12-7, the final in 08. And you're right. Tommy Bowden's last game.
Last game for Tommy Bowden.
Yeah. Cullen Harper.
Hey, by the way, can I say one other thing?
Yes, sir.
It's kind of tied into all of this, given what happened at Virginia Tech and Blake James this week and Manny Diaz, people buzzing, all that stuff. Manny Diaz is 19-15 at Miami.
Okay.
Dabo Swinney after 34 games at Clemson?
Yeah.
19-15.
Stop it.
The point I'm making with this.
Patience?
And I'm not saying that Manny Diaz is the next Dabo Swinney. I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
That'll all take care of itself one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? There was a time at Clemson that folks were like, I'm not sure about this Swinney guy. You know what? Guy running the show said he's the guy. Support him. Let's go. Rest is history.
Terry Don.
Just saying. For anybody that's looking for a coach or we need to fire our guy, just be patient. Just saying. And this league has the greatest examples of it of any conference in America.
Right now.
A guy by the name of Krzyzewski, first couple years.
Oh, my gosh.
Getting ambushed. Got Dean Smith down the road. Got Jim Valvano, newbie, down the road, doing his thing, winning a national championship. What's this Krzyzewski guy going to do? Tom Butters, may he rest in peace, brilliant guy. Mm-hmm. Be patient. Frank Beamer, we've talked about a bunch even on today's show, right? You look at his first 6 years. Justin Fuente out after six.
Uh-huh.
Look at what Frank Beamer did after 6 years at Virginia Tech. In today's world, there's no way he survives.
That's it.
Turned out to be a pretty good coach, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Legend, I'd say.
Yep.
I mean, you've got unbelievable examples in this league of administrators that said, hey, guys, chill. Give the guy a chance to do his thing. The rest is history. Two of the greatest names in the history. How about Dean Smith in North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go back to yesteryear, first couple years in North Carolina, hung an effigy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Billy Cunningham had to pull him down from the tree, pull the effort, the deal out of the tree. Right.
How'd that work out? Pretty good?
Yeah.
Dean Smith, pretty good coach?
Yeah, put a named him building after him.
Dean Smith, Mike Krzyzewski, Frank Beamer.
And
three of the best coaches ever in this league, regardless of sport.
Right.
In sport, period. And you know what? They've been run out of town in today's modern version of college athletics.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And here's the other thing. People say times change. Okay, I grant you all that. Landscape's a lot different. But sometimes the only way is the patience factor.
That's right.
And I'll stack Dave Doran, Dave Clawson. Bronco Mendenhall's not as long in the tenure as those guys, by a year or so. I'll stack all three of those guys up. And look, they've had bumps. They've had dips. They've not always had double-figure win seasons. Maybe they haven't had a double-figure win season. But you know what they've got? Sustainability about their program. Here's the other part, too. The old adage. You know, you like when I say this, too. The math doesn't work for everybody.
That's right.
Math, Clemson, the math's not working for you right now on a lot of things. You've only lost three games.
As you said, they're 7-3.
Yeah, you've only lost three games.
How awful is that? Terrible. Right. Oh, brutal. Come on, get in the real world.
Let's go to Virginia.
But just think about those. I mean, four coaches in this league.
Yeah.
Dabo Swinney, Frank Beamer, Mike Krzyzewski,
Dean Smith. Right.
Come on, man. What more do you need to know?
That's
chill out. Yeah. It's going to work out.
It takes time.
It does.
Nobody's Nothing's got easy. The patience factor anymore. Virginia is at Pittsburgh to determine the Coastal on Saturday. These two stacked them up a little bit. Let's roll it back. Back-to-back years. 2015, Pitt won 26-19. Okay? James Conner. Yeah, we ought to play the NFL music on this one. Look at this. Wheel route. How's that look? Seriously, Pac?
He's such an easy guy to root for, what he went through physically to come back. And, man, just a great player, great dude on top of it.
Conner, by the way, Kadri Olofsson, Falcon, 122-19. Then you go a year before that, 2014, Virginia won 24-19. They were up 24-3 at the end of the first half. Pitt scored 16 points. But the Cavaliers held on to win.
Man, I'm so glad Pitt got rid of those uniforms. Gosh. You know, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
This series, the game that pops out at me is the last time Virginia won at Pitt, which they had to start the season because they had all the hype that this was going to be the year for Virginia to win the Coastal. And we talked about it. Man, they never win. Never win at Pitt.
Primetime game on ACC Network.
Right out of the gate. They won the game, and the rest was history. They go on to win the division. And here we come to this week. Virginia at Pitt. I don't know what Brennan Armstrong's situation is going to be. I think he has to play for them to win. But everything's at stake again between Virginia and Pittsburgh this weekend.
Florida State, Boston College also on the list here for the weekend. Just 2 years ago, Jordan Travis made his debut. Remember, this is Odell Hagen's first game as interim coach after they fired Willie Taggart. Cam Akers scoring. Here's Blackman. That's DJ Matthews, who finished up at Indiana, I guess, taking it to the house. But here's the guy that set the house on fire. Comes in out of a timeout on a third and short. Goodbye. Boston College did not know where to tackle 13. Pittsburgh and Boston College sees Florida State win at 38-31. Year before that, Florida State wins in Tallahassee 22-21. They beat a ranked BC team. DeAndre Francois throws 74 yards to Tamarian Terry with a minute 49 left. There's Cam Akers again. Here it is. Look at this. Zip. Ball game. Is that any good?
It's another one of these series that, for me, there wasn't one that really popped. I remember Jameis Winston coming back and again with the Noles the year after they won the national championship.
2014, yeah.
And they won so many close games that year. And I know that was one of those games, too.
Yep.
The only other thing I remember is the red bandana game one night. Florida State was there, and it was freezing cold, and BC just beat them senseless.
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing the scene on the sideline. The Florida State kids were like bundled up and just like, can we please get out of here?
Yeah.
It's freezing cold. We're getting killed. See you later.
Yeah.
But that series has been kind of nondescript, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the one pop game. Doesn't appear to be. Maybe this weekend. Could be.
Syracuse and NC State on this list, by the way. Syracuse has won in 2018, 51-41.
Hope they enjoyed it because there haven't been many W's for the Orange against NC State. The Wolfpack has dominated this series.
Yeah. Man, look at these slingshot throws. Nakeem Johnson. There's another one in the end zone. Look at this.
Syracuse's worst uniform combination is that one right there.
Should have had the last year's game that ended on the spike. Remember that? The time running out and all that. Holy cow.
Wolfpack, though, they've really dominated this series. Yeah. I'm just saying. Again, what I want to see this weekend, though, Wes, is the maturity of NC State has to come through this weekend. Mm-hmm. You're coming off a really disappointing loss. I get it, but there's still a ton to play for. You're at home. Cuse got railroaded. I mean, they got butchered at Louisville. So you've dominated the series. You still kind of control a bunch of stuff. You want to win 10 games this year.
Right.
You got to win out, which includes two home games, Syracuse and North Carolina. I want to see NC State's maturity show up this weekend. I think it's going to be a key for the Wolfpack.
Tell you what I want to do. I want to take it in the Wayback Machine. You ready?
Let's do it.
1997 for the Orange and the Wolfpack. Syracuse ranked 13th overall. NC State went for two in overtime. Jamie Barnett. NC State 32-31. Torrey Holt. Look how green that turf is at Ernie Davis Legends Field. There's Jamie Barnett on the two-point play. Oh, man. Come on. Look at the pack with the diamond NCS on the helmets. How about that? Mike O'Kane, after the game, the quote after the game, two plays before we scored, I said we're going for two. I didn't know what defense they'd be in, but I felt they weren't confident. They're thinking we just got hit. We just got a touchdown scored against us. This game should have been over a long time ago. This game shouldn't be like this. NC State won on Jamie Barnett to Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt turned out to be a pretty good player, didn't he?
Yeah, get him.
Pack's had a few of those.
We got to get him a gold jacket.
Torrey Holt. Question. The fact that he doesn't have one is almost criminal.
Yeah.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I understand there's a study out now that fallen leaves are nutrients for yards.
That's what I read the other day. Yeah. I wish I'd have known that 40 years ago.
Billy sent you in the yard.
Billy used to force me to go out there and rake leaves.
Time to rake.
Yard work is the worst. Ever.
Best games in series history. Kenny Pickett coming up in about 13-14 minutes here. Georgia Tech travels to South Bend, Indiana, kids, this weekend. You might not know this, but there is a little bit of business on the hoof with the Jackets and the Irish. Some of it's been chronicled in motion pictures.
Bad motion pictures. I'm not a fan of the movie. A lot of
fiction, though, in that movie.
Oh, I'm sure. It's Hollywood. What do you expect from Los Angeles?
Perhaps the most famous moment in the history of the series was when Daniel Rudy Rudiger lined up offside.
This was prior to him being charged with securities fraud?
1975. He lined up offside, in parentheses, recorded a sack, and was carried off the field. In the movie, he was carried off the field by about 4,000 people. As you see in the picture, there were three guys.
His friends.
Yeah, his buddies.
Yeah.
Following year, Georgia Tech beat Notre Dame, by the way, the following year, without attempting a pass behind the exploits of Savannah, Georgia wishbone quarterback Gary Lanier, who will gladly tell you he dropped back once and was sacked by Ross Browner.
That was the end of that.
That was the end of that.
We don't need to try that again.
No more passing.
Just run it on you all day.
Just run it on you. Now, a little more modern with the Jackets and the Irish pack. 2007.
Do you remember this game?
Absolutely.
Still vivid?
Very much so. Tashard Choice, who, by the way, is on the list for the Frank Broyles Award, is the running backs coach at Georgia Tech.
It's the voice of the Jackets. You remember this one crystal clear.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of pregame ancillary commentary about the year before from the head coach of the Irish.
Charlie Weiss.
Taylor Bennett, later a state senator in Georgia.
You know, he had a schematic advantage over every opponent.
Not that day, because Tashard Choice ran for... There's Charlie wanting to know if somebody's going to tackle 22, who ran for nearly 200 yards. Georgia Tech dusted Notre Dame 33-3, a game probably remembered best by Irish fans of Jimmy Clausen making his first appearance in a Notre Dame uniform.
First of many Heismans coming his way.
I think that was about right. 1999, New Year's Day, Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida. Rick Catlett's Gator Bowl, as I recall. Georgia Tech puts the final touches on a 10-2 season, beating Notre Dame 35-28 in front of a festive crowd. Bad numbers on the unis, but Joe Hamilton to Dez White. Big touchdown for the Jackets. Phillip Rogers sealed it with a touchdown dive. And Dez White, who played at Bowl School in Jacksonville, the MVP of the game.
I remember watching that game. That was a very entertaining game.
Yeah, it was.
Had a little back and forth going on there. It's good.
Jarius Jackson, I think, was the quarterback for Notre Dame. One of many. Arnaz Battle also sorted into that. Notre Dame won the 1997 matchup 17-13. It was the first game played in the newly expanded Notre Dame Stadium. Ron Pallas, the quarterback. Keith Brooking had an interception in the ball game. ACC crew flagged Georgia Tech for pass interference on the back line of the end zone in the fourth quarter.
No.
That ultimately led Notre Dame to their scoring drive.
You remember that?
I do. I remember the official that threw the flag.
Is that the same official that hosed Georgia Tech with Brady Quinn?
No. No, that was a Big Ten official.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to get those confused.
No, no. That was Harvey Middleton, by the way, raising his arms
in the end
zone.
Remember.
Yeah. And then there's 1980. Under-talented and injury-decimated roster, Georgia Tech tied number one Notre Dame 3-3 in a game played. Bill Curry's first season as head coach at Georgia Tech, transitioning from Pepper Rogers. The Jackets were 1-7, their worst eight-game record since 1934. 20-point underdogs. Mike Kelly, the starting quarterback at Georgia Tech, got hurt early in the game. They had to move Ken Wisenhunt from tight end to play quarterback for Curry's team. And they ended up tying Notre Dame 3-3.
Should never have ties. Never have ties.
Now, but you know what else happened?
College Football Playoff Committee said, hey, if we existed back then, we'd still give the nod to Notre Dame.
Maybe.
Because they have a better offensive stats.
But the work of Georgia Tech paved Georgia to move into a position to win the national championship.
So we blame the Jackets for that?
No, I didn't blame anybody. I'm just telling you, it's funny how the rivals work sometimes, isn't it?
Sometimes it works for you.
Yeah, because Notre Dame 3-3 allowed Georgia to get into a situation to play for the national championship that year.
Hmm. Haven't won one since.
Georgia. That's right. Yes.
Jackets have.
Oh, yeah, 90. That's right. So.
I know you remember all that stuff.
By the way.
That's in your DNA.
The movie where they lay the jerseys on the desk in Dan Devine's office.
That didn't happen
either. That didn't happen. A little Hollywood embellishment.
I told you that movie didn't do anything for me. Sorry. I know the folks love it. I didn't.
It's a nice story, but it's like, not
if you believe Fantasyland.
All right.
Wes, in Field of Dreams, those guys that come out through the cornfield,
they don't really come out of the cornfield. Yeah, I know.
Just saying.
Yeah. And I've been to Dyersville. I've seen that. And they weren't there. I walked out there and looked.
Hey boys. In there.
All right. How about Virginia Tech, Miami? I think Drew Brooks and Josh are ready for us to move on.
They're ready to move on. Oh, yeah.
Virginia Tech, Miami.
We've had some games here now.
Ooh, tell the truth. 2000. Let's go all the way back. 2000. Number two, Virginia Tech lost to number three, Miami, at the fabled Orange Bowl. 41-21. That'd be Michael Vick. The Portaphone headsets, long before we had any kind of advertisements on their pack.
Missed opportunity.
Oh, Butch Davis. His final days at FIU.
Yeah, Butch has been in the news this week.
Yeah.
Sabotage going on down there, apparently.
Yeah, that's a tough deal there. 2003, Number 10, Virginia Tech returned the favor on the Canes. 31-7 the final. Oh, we're under the lights in Blacksburg.
This was a Southern Fried football tour stop.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
How'd that go for you?
It was a festive day and evening in Blacksburg for the crew.
Look at here now. Come on, let's get after it. The Hokies in the full maroon. Huh?
They played some great. Listen, this one, Miami, early part of this century.
D'Angelo Hall, please.
Early the century.
Yeah.
Those big boys from down under
were
outstanding.
How about the first time they met in the ACC? Orange Bowl, final game of the regular season. Kind of a de facto ACC championship game out of the old Coastal. Winner gets a berth to the BCS. Number 10, Virginia Tech beat number 9, Miami, 16-10.
They've had great games. I'm telling you, great games. And you got this one this weekend, and it feels different because, but there's still so much riding on it. I mean, this is not a national championship.
Yeah.
It's got some implications, but the fact they're both 5-5, they're both 3-3 in the league. The Blake James news this week, the, you know, Justin Fuente news this week. I mean, you got all kinds of storylines this week.
Yeah, no
you
doubt.
You really do.
No doubt. Louisville at Duke's the other ball game, and we've only seen two meetings between these two schools. 2002, Louisville won 40-3. And then 5 years ago, remember, because they're cross division now, Louisville won 24-14. That's about it.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of meat on the bone for this series.
Yeah, the game, quite frankly, 5 years ago, closer than a lot of people thought it should be. There's Lamar Jackson scoring a touchdown, and basically he rushes for a score with 90 seconds to go, and it seals the game. That's the only time they've played as members of the ACC. This will be just the third meeting coming up tomorrow night, 7:30 over on ESPN.
I do think Louisville catches Duke at the perfect time, though. Louisville's got to feel good about what they did this past weekend. And after talking to Malik Cunningham yesterday on the show, he's had such a great season. And I've said 100 times, Louisville will look back at this year in those fourth quarter, let the getaway games, whether it be Virginia, whether it be NC State, whether it be Clemson, they were close.
Yeah.
They were really close. But I think they come rolling into Wallace Wade tomorrow and just go, hey, we're better than you. Here we go. Let's let it rip.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. Wes, our next guest is a record setter in every sense of the word.
That's
on the field and on the show.
Yeah. Yes. Kenny Pickett joins us from Pittsburgh. And last week we had NC State and Wake Forest kind of for the driver's seat in the Atlantic. And now, Kenny, here's the ballgame everybody's talking about for Saturday. It's Virginia and Pittsburgh. Does it feel different?
No, I mean, obviously, you know, there's a championship at stake, and I think the message that we've had all season, you know, every ACC game that we've had, you know, we've been preaching that it's a championship game, and we've been preparing that way. So I'm hoping the guys kind of took that message to heart, and, you know, now we find ourselves in a championship game Saturday. So, you know, I hope we, you know, all prepare the same.
I just want to congratulate you on more Packer and Durham appearances than any other student-athlete in the history of the ACC. You continue to build upon the lead. That's the first thing I want to tell you, Kenny. So congratulations on that feat.
Thank you. I think that's the biggest accomplishment this season so far.
Forget the Heisman. I just want the Packer and Durham gear. We know how you roll.
We know how it is.
You know, I also want to congratulate you on coming back. I know we haven't had a chance to talk during the season from that perspective, but you made a really, really bright business decision. And, you know, just watching you play every week, it just looks like you're having a blast playing the game. Is that true?
Yeah, I really am. It's been an unbelievable ride so far this season. And, you know, I couldn't imagine it going any better. You know, I'm excited to go finish it strong.
Okay, so what's been the surprise for you this year? In all the things that have happened, what's been fun to see happen either for you or for this football team, Kenny?
I would just that's a good question. I don't think anything surprising. I think this is something that we've all and you know I had envisioned for this team. I'm just happy seeing you know a lot of guys touching the ball and a lot of guys getting in the end zone. You could just see the joy on, you know, all the guys on the offensive side. And then our defense had a great game against UNC, and they really carried us that game, and it was a complete team effort. So it's been a blast seeing, you know, this team rally around each other and go win games.
All right, let's get back to all the guys touching the ball. Roddy and I are doing the ball game in Atlanta. We look down, like 11 guys have touched it in the first half. We do the ball game at Duke a couple of weeks ago. Look down at halftime, like 9 guys have touched the ball in the first half. Are you and Whip, like, sitting in there every week going, okay, let's see how many different cats can touch it, you know, in the first half? Or are you exploring different guys? Do you think, like, okay, we don't want to become, you know, predictable? Is that how all that happens, I guess?
I would say we don't draw it up that way. At least I haven't talked to Coach Whip about that, saying, oh, we need to get, you know, so-and-so the ball. We need to get him the ball. It kind of just, you know, we're using the entire offense, and every guy has the option to get the ball. So if you watch this year versus previous years, every guy is running to win. Every guy thinks that he has a chance of getting the ball that play. I think that's kind of the difference you see in the offense this year, and guys are running downfield, and, you know, we're running by people, and you know, we're messing up zones with how fast guys are getting through. So, it just makes your, you know, offense a lot more successful.
I want to know, who was the guy after you guys scored in overtime that went over and picked up the phone and talked to the Lord and said, it's time for the monsoon? Who's got that kind of power on your sideline?
I'm not sure. When we find out, I got to make sure I thank him too, because the last play we had, again, you know, I threw the touchdown to Lucas. It was coming down pretty hard. I was like, you know, they're going to have a tough time with this, and it got worse. So I'm definitely glad that we got the ball first.
You know, you wear the two gloves. Does that change with weather conditions, or have you just gotten used to the fact that, hey, you know what, that's what I do?
No, it's like the receiver gloves, when they get wet, they're not great. And there's like a kind of a weather glove that I have that works a lot better with a wet ball in the rain. So I just switched to that in overtime, and it works pretty well.
All right, the two gloves thing, Roddy and I've joked about it on the air. Kenny, two gloves. I don't know where the two came from. But it's been great. I know there are a few guys in the NFL that do it. What brought the two gloves into play, Kenny?
That was really, I mean, it was 2 years ago against UNC on a Thursday night, actually. It was my first time doing it as a junior. I did it one time as a sophomore against Virginia Tech. After that game, you know, Coach Whip asked if, you know, how I felt with it, and I told him I like it. He goes, all right, we'll try it again this week. You know, it continued to work for me, and you know, we just let it ride out.
Last home game. You know, it always comes to an end at some point in time before there's a new journey. Have you given that some thought? I mean, I know you're concentrating on Virginia, trying to punch the ticket and get to Charlotte. But, I mean, you've had such a great ride. But this is the last time you're walking through that tunnel at Heinz.
Yeah, I thought about it. It's going to be a special day. You know, I'll see my family, see my friends, and you know, hopefully we go out there and get the job done. But, you know, I'm appreciative and grateful for all the memories I've made at Heinz Field. And, you know, we got one more to go.
Oh, well, I want to ask you about the 21 quarterback club in the ACC, because we touched on this in July when a lot of you guys were here in Charlotte for the kickoff. And I saw you and Sam Howell, even though he got hit pretty good at the end of the ball game the other night, I saw you and Sam Howell exchange a couple of words after the game the other night. It's been a hell of a year for quarterbacks, Kenny. I mean, it's been a spectacular year. Maybe one of the best this league's ever seen. What's it meant to be part of it, and how much have you guys been able to kind of stay in touch a little bit as the season wears on?
No, it means a lot. I'm proud to be a part of it. You know, like you said, I was able to talk to Sam after the game. I told him I don't think this is the last we'll see of each other. But, you know, I think, like you said, it's a heck of a year for quarterbacks, and you know, it's a great feeling to be a part of something special.
You know, you see another quarterback, hopefully, for all of our sakes, from fans, with Brennan Armstrong. I know as the season goes on, you prepare for the team you're playing, but do you ever have a little sneak peek about what everybody else is doing? I mean, Hartman's been unbelievable at Wake. You know about your man Sam Howell. You guys had the exchange. Armstrong's been crazy. Malik Cunningham's doing his thing. You saw TVD the other day when Miami rolled up there and was spinning dimes all over the place. I mean, do you take a sneak peek of just the numbers, big picture in the ACC, or is that just irrelevant?
Really not so much numbers. Kind of if there's a Friday night game, or if I'm at 12 on Saturday and there's a night game that I can catch, I definitely tune in and I watch those guys and see what's going on around the ACC. Just making sure that, you know, I'm aware with the kind of talented teams we have in the conference.
All right. Well, The finality is here, my man. We appreciate your visit as always. Now, Pac, he is officially number one.
On the leaderboard as we speak, number one, Kenny Pickett. And he's not done. Not done, because I'm telling you, you punch that ticket, you know what? We're down here in Charlotte. Just saying. Just saying.
In person, too. I think that'll bump me up another level.
Oh!
Hey, if that's not incentive, there's no such thing. No such thing. We wish you the best, man.
Take care, Kenny. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
He's great.
He's had – the thing I love about his story is he could have left. A lot of guys do. You know what? It's my chance. I got a chance to chase my dream, go to the NFL, NBA, whatever the case may be.
Right.
Major League Baseball.
Right.
And he said, you know what? I still got some unfinished business. Sure. You know, college life is pretty good, quite frankly, and the NFL can wait. And, man, did he make a smart business decision. He's come back. He's played his tail off. His team's good. His numbers are great. Man, there's some folks believe he's the number one pick in the NFL draft as far as quarterbacks go in the upcoming spring draft.
Right.
I'm happy for him. He's been on our show, like I said, a half dozen times. He's always a delight to talk to, smart, handles himself with class, and, man, can he play.
Oh,
can he really play?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Really good. I mean, it's a great, great story. Really is.
Yeah. Kenny is he's always been fun for us to talk to, and he's had a great year, and really excited to see not only where it goes the rest of the way for Pitt, but also where it goes for him.
Right.
Based on an educated decision. We just talked about it with Eric McClain earlier, right? An educated decision to come back. He and Mark Whipple have made great music this year, and big game in the Coastal on Saturday.
It's the biggest game.
Yeah.
Because it's real simple. And for everybody who's going to worry about it, I'm sure we'll go over it again tomorrow and with Max in here on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go through the whole deal. If Wake Forest beats Clemson, they're in. If Pitt beats Virginia, they're in. And there's your matchup, Wake Forest and Pitt.
Yeah.
And you already know the FPI numbers. They're both heavy, heavy favorites to be here.
Yep.
So there you go.
The highest percentage of a team's total offense, that calculation is interesting as it relates to the ACC quarterbacks we were talking about with Kenny. Brennan Armstrong accounts for 73.8% of Virginia's offense, total offense. That's fourth among FBS.
And that was never more obvious than watching the Notre Dame game on Saturday when Virginia put a three spot on the board.
The ACC has four of the top 10 in this category.
Doesn't surprise me.
Brennan Armstrong is four. Sam Howell is seventh at 71.5. Kenny Pickett is eighth at 70.3. Sam Hartman ninth at 70 even. That's a staggering figure. And by the way, the metric here is Phil Jurkovec and Tyler Van Dyke have not played a full season, or I'm sure they'd be somewhere in that neighborhood.
Well, Jurkovec particular, because we knew he was going to be the starter, and before he got hurt, and now that he's back, you see what BC is. They're a totally different football team. We didn't know about TVD, right? Because obviously the question at that point in time was Derek King would have been a guy that probably in all likelihood would have been in that top 10. So we've harped on this all summer, that the talent at the quarterback position in this league is really superior. I mean, it's just awesome. And while we may not have a college football playoff team, Wake Stinton there at 10, you never know. Crazy stuff could happen. From an individual standpoint of quarterback, there's nothing been more entertaining than watching ACC quarterbacks this year. They have been fantastic. They've been consistent. They've been dynamic. And it's not just one or two guys. You can go a half dozen deep.
Right.
Easy. Half dozen.
By the way, Kenny Pickett is also looking at the potential single-season passing record at the University of Pittsburgh this weekend. He needs 163 yards to pass Rod Rutherford, who had 3,679 yards passing in 2003.
Well, if he's upright and healthy, he will zip right past that. I mean, listen, if Virginia has Armstrong and he can give you a performance
–
that game kind of feels kind of like NC State Wake. It's got a chance to have fireworks all over the place because both those guys are so dynamic and so are their offenses. So I'm expecting a great game.
Yeah.
Fun game.
I'm with you on that. We come back, a handful of things here to share with you, including a new ESPN mock draft is out, and there is an ACC player in the top five of this first-round mock for the NFL.
And it might not be a guy that you're thinking of.
No, it's definitely not the guy you're thinking of. It's not. No, it's yes. There's no doubt. This is a bit of a surprise for some. Should be on your mind, but you're not thinking of it that way.
And he's an offensive player.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Jordan Reed is a newly minted draft analyst writing for ESPN.com. And he has produced, Pack, a mock draft for the first round in April.
I'm well aware of it.
Is this close to trivia for you, by the way, when we do this?
Well,
I just want to get some layers out here.
Now, here's my deal with everybody, you know, to me, mock drafts
are like podcasts.
Everybody's got one. People come to me, you know, Pack, I got a podcast. You need to listen to it. Yeah, that's, you know, what I really want to do is listen to more radio. By the time I have some, when I finally have a minute of free time, I want to listen to more podcasts. So, yeah, mock drafts and podcasts to me are in the same category.
Okay. Jordan has cobbled together a round one. And
what's this guy's name again?
Jordan Reed, who joined our family back in early November. His number one pick is Kayvon Thibodeau of Oregon.
Makes sense. Who
would go to the 0-8-1 Detroit Lions in today's draft.
Quality tie in the National Football League over the weekend against Pittsburgh.
Love to see how the committee handles that, by the way.
God, it's so stupid.
Here's what the deal is. This is where it relates to the ACC. He has the New York Giants taking with the fifth pick Ike Ekwonu of NC State. How about that?
Now, it's not a surprise that he would be a first-round pick.
Five?
But it would be a bit of a surprise, at least was for me,
yeah,
that he's a top five pick.
There we go.
I hope that works out for him because that'd be awesome.
This is the one that I think will be of interest to you, and it relates to today's show. He has the second quarterback overall being taken at 12 by the Carolina Panthers.
Who?
Kenny Pickett.
Hey, Cam, gotta go. Cam's out, Pickett's in.
Yeah, second quarterback. He has Matt Corral going a couple picks earlier to Washington, and Kenny Pickett, 12, to the Carolina Panthers.
I tell you what, if Kenny Pickett ends up in Charlotte, we're in business.
You're buying tickets, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to buy tickets.
Come on.
I'm going to say, hey, Kenny, you got two free ones for the weekend?
Oh, stop it.
I'd love to see Kenny Pickett in Charlotte.
The other ACC player listed in this particular draft is 18 to the Vikings, and it's Clemson corner Andrew Booth.
Yep. So, makes sense.
Yeah. That's where we are.
That'd be cool, though. You know, I'll see Phil Savage, former Senior Bowl
exec, right,
former co-host on the old radio show. He's now an executive up there with the New York Football Jets.
He is.
I'm going to see him at the Army-Navy game.
Oh, did y'all already coordinate that?
Yeah.
Good.
Working on that for whatever, the second weekend in December.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Love that game. My favorite.
No question.
But we'll find out maybe some inside scoop there if my man from NC State could be a lean for the New York Jets.
Maybe we just drag Phil on the show and break it down.
Phil would love to. If Phil wants to come on, he can. He's tremendous.
He's a great guy.
Oh,
one of the best.
Yep. No doubt.
One of the best.
Big birthday today. You know that?
Absolutely. Happy birthday to the Hall of Fame head men's basketball coach of the Syracuse University Orange, Jim Boeheim. 77 today. Coach, keep your seat.
Hey, are we using that? No, you can't. Wait a minute. Wait. You cannot use that video for Jim Boeheim on his birthday when the guy pushing one of the buttons up there is a Syracuse man. You can't use that video for Jim Boeheim. If you want to use it, you know, ripping off the coat against Krzyzewski, you can go there. But you can't show Jim Boeheim falling off a chair on his birthday. Come on. There's no respect in the studio with that.
Disappointed in the voice of
victory.
We
had nothing to do with that.
Disappointed in the voice of victory.
Come on.
Disappointed.
And I'm on the bandwagon, too. I'm really going to take up from Jim Boeheim on this. You cannot do that. That's wrong. If that was an SEC Network move, you want to make fun of me? I get it. But that's one of our own. You just did that, too. Now, don't play it again. They're now telling us in here, oh, we're going to play it again. What? You got a vendetta against Boeheim? Come on, man. they're going to be one of the best stories in college basketball this year. Number one, they're going to be good. And number two, you got the entire family playing.
Yeah.
Buddy, and Buddy Jimmy. And Kenny Pickett are going to have this battle to the very end. Who's going to have more appearances?
Yeah. There you go.
Come on. You can't do that to Jim Boeheim.
By the way,
he's one of the best.
Orange are not on the schedule tonight in the Atlantic Coast Conference. On the men's side, there are only four games. Boston College is at Rhode Island. Charleston Southern at Wake Forest.
Big week for Charleston Southern, isn't it? They got a big hoop game tonight, and then they get a check over the weekend. Taking on number one, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
that's a big sports weekend for Charleston
Helping
Southern.
Helping the coffers a little bit in North Charleston, South Carolina. NC State and Oklahoma State are playing at the Mohegan Sun Pack. Part of that deal up in Uncasville, Connecticut.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. And then Tulane is at Florida State. That ball game tonight on ACC Network. Drew Carter, Malcolm Huckabee has the coverage for you.
Need to see the Noles bounce back. That was kind of stunk it up in the second half in Gainesville.
There you go. Sunday. Lengthy list of games set up on the ladies' side.
Man.
LIU is at Pittsburgh, Appalachian State, North Carolina, Boston College, BU, a little Calm Avenue action there. Clemson is at number one, South Carolina. You can see that over on our sister network on the Southeastern Conference side. UT Martin visits number 10, Louisville. Didn't Louisville just beat Bellarmine like somebody last night? Yeah. So they're playing again. Georgia Tech's at East Tennessee State. Coppin State visits Kenny Brooks and number 25, Virginia Tech. Morgan State sees our friend Vaughn Reed in Syracuse tonight at 7, and UCF is at Virginia. Most of those available on ACCNX as part of the ESPN app.
Busy night for the ladies. A lot happening. Can't believe we showed Jim Boeheim falling
off
the chair.
Before we say goodbye.
That is not right.
Breck in Virginia has been waiting patiently. Breck, good morning.
Very quiet.
Hello, Breck.
Hi.
Very quiet.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
How are you, sir?
Good, guys. I'm good. We just had the revenge. I'm going to miss two things. The impersonation of Coach Fu. And we just had the revenge of the voice of victory there for Coach Boeheim. But the reason I'm calling is because we need a receiving and interception categories, because we got great things of both, and is overrunning with 17 and 18 people doing that.
Are you talking about wide receiver U?
Yeah, wide receiver.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, wide receiver U. Yeah.
Have it receptions and interceptions.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? We've had great interceptions and receptions.
So we split it, in other words, make one defense, one offense.
Yeah, but there's no guarantees that we're going to have defensive interceptions nominated each week. I mean, so a catch is a catch.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we look at it.
And coming soon, dunks.
I had somebody the other day send me a note and said, I'm going to nominate when some guy ran a punt back. Does that count for wide receiver U? I said, no, it doesn't count for wide receiver U.
Punt return.
A punt return. I'm like, no, that doesn't. Well, he caught the ball. He got in an argument with me. I'm like, no, that is not the way it works. If a wide receiver catches a pass, you can nominate it. If a defensive back makes a great play or a big boy makes an interception, it counts if you want to. But not a punt return.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but you had an onside kick. I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. I mean, it was like, okay, you know what? Just give me the name and we'll throw it in the mix of – it makes the cut, it makes the cut. But it didn't. You want to hear my podcast? No, I don't. I really don't. 6 hours of this a day, I'm good. I'm really good. I appreciate it. I wish you the best of luck. How about my mock draft? No, I really don't need your mock draft.
Hey, I asked before I talked about it. I asked, is this trivia?
You know what's worse than the mock draft? You know what's worse?
What's that?
Mock draft 2.0.
No, get ready.
If you've already screwed it up, I mean, I don't need to see it the first time or the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've changed it.
By the way, that's great. Fuller got shots this morning. Is that right?
Fuller got shots.
He didn't get them all.
What's the matter?
There's one he didn't get.
What happened? He's welcoming you back over there? Huh? a little green smog your way. Yeah, he's a loving dog. He's gonna miss you because you're in Cartersville tomorrow.
Going to Cartersville.
Yep. You're on the show, but you're in Cartersville.
I'm on the show.
So I'm solo in the
basement. Back at the old homestead tomorrow.
Like the old days.
Old days.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.